A popular Outcast production.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of What the Hell with Nathan Prell. I'd just like to say that I appreciate you coming back every week, and there are many ways that you can help make this show better. First, you can give me your feedback, what works, what doesn't, and what are topics or segments you'd like to hear. You can tweet at the podcast at WTH_Prell, or to me at TheNathanPrell on Twitter. You can also comment on Facebook or at the site www.whatthehell.popularoutcasts.com. And while you're there, if you clear your cookies and click on the Amazon banner to do all of your online shopping, the Popular Outcast Network gets a little cut, which will help everyone on the network. And finally, tell your friends about this podcast. Thanks again for listening, and enjoy the show. All right.
Oh, am I supposed to start talking?
I thought you were going to say something.
Oh, I'm not going to say anything. All right. Okay, we're back for round two of the storytelling of my life. I think the last time we left off that we were in the Archwood Lane condominiums that we had purchased one sometime back in 1988 or somewhere around there, 88 or 89. I think it was 88, 89, somewhere. Nice little condominium about, it was like 700 square feet. It wasn't very big. Small kitchen, a living room, a little area to eat in, and two bedrooms and one bathroom. But it was good enough for me, Carrie, and Shaylee. Nathan was not around at that time. He wasn't even being thought of at that time. We were still liking to do too many other things. But we lived in an Archwood Lane apartment. It was okay. Nice little place. We had a guy that lived above us. We think it was a guy. I don't even know if I ever seen the person. All we know is that he vacuumed his carpet three times a day, every day. He would go up there, you'd just hear the vacuum run. And he had the same size of condo we did, but it seemed like he vacuumed for hours. And it was like constantly. He must have walked in the vacuum, walked in the vacuum, walked in the vacuum, had a vacuum stuck to his ass because he was walking around vacuuming every time he took a step. But we lived there for a while, and we decided that we wanted to buy a house. We had paid up most of our debt. Mom and Dad loaned us some money to buy the condo, and we owed the IRS a bunch of money, so we had to pay that off, because that was the end of my drug usage and stuff, and I claimed exempt on my paychecks for a long time to use the money for drugs, and I ended up owing the IRS a bunch of money. So you don't want to do that. That's, IRS doesn't play in your favor. But we decided that we're going to go look for a house, and at that time it was too expensive to live in Simi Valley. So we went and took a cruise out to Palmdale. Now, I don't know if I explained this back in the day, back in the other episode, that Pam and Randy lived out in Palmdale. My sister Pam, her husband Randy, Eric and Laura, they all lived out in Palmdale there for a while. And we used to drive out to see them. And one of the things was, man, they live so far away. I'll never live this far away from, you know, like Simi Valley was where we were at. Because it was like an hour drive out to Palmdale. But sure enough, that's where we went to go buy a house. Because we couldn't afford to live anyplace else. At that time, in 1988, 89, houses were, you know, astronomical price. And so we had to go out. So we ended up in Palmdale. And we were going out there about every weekend, looking at homes, and it was a lot of new home constructions, so we were looking at a lot of new homes. Couldn't get on a list. There was overnight camping to get on a list. So we did this for, months, and we finally came across one house that we really liked, and they had one. And we had to do it right then, otherwise we were not going to be able to buy this house. So we just happened to have, I think, my mom and Rick was there. Or somebody else was there, but we ended up, Rick loaned me the $2,000 to put the deposit down the house. So I'm not sure if we all were out there looking at homes and we just happened to be at the right place at the right time on this house. But we put the $2,000 down. I think this was 1989 and somewhere around there. And the home was going to take about 9 months or so to build. For some reason, that was a long time to build this home. I don't know why.
How long did it take to build this house?
Like 3 months. We put a deposit on this house in Las Vegas in May, and we moved in September. So that was June, July, August, September. It's like 4 months.
All right.
We were in the house. And the only thing that was here was the land. The dirt was laid out for the layout of the house. There was nothing else there. Just the dirt was squared up for the house. But they built it fairly quick. So anyway, we put that deposit on the house out in Palmdale. I don't remember the builder. Really nice house. I really liked the house. The layout of the house, you had a living room, a family room, a dining room, a kitchen with a small eat place, three bedrooms upstairs, and a bathroom, full bath for the kids, and a full master bath, and then a half bath downstairs next to the garage, and then a three-car garage. Out of all the homes I owned, I like that. That's my favorite house.
Yeah, I like that.
Wide open.
Too.
Yeah, it was wide open. Lots of room. You can lots of windows. You can see. I really did like the house. The master bedroom was really nice and big. Had a little seating area. The master bath wasn't that big, but the bedroom. I liked a lot of room in the bedroom. So anyway, in order to have that house, we had to sell our condo. So they did give us a contingency to sell the condo. They says, okay, you got this to sell the condo, this much time. So we got a realtor. We listed the condo. We paid $115,000 for the condo when we bought it. We listed it for $145,000. That's what the realtor at the time said it was worth, was $145,000. We listed that, and here's what the glitcher is right here, which we should have done this. There's pluses and minuses in this ending of this, but we came within 2 weeks listing that condo. We got a full price cash offer for $145,000. We turned that offer down because we didn't want to move and live in an apartment or live with mom and dad for 9 months while the house was being built. We didn't really realize that $145,000 would have gave us enough money for the down payment, pay off all our debt, and move into the house. It wasn't been no problem. All we had to do was live in an apartment, which we could have done that for $600-800 at the time. But we weren't thinking, so we turned that price down. So as time went, within probably another 2 to 3 weeks, we got another offer for a little bit less than $145,000. It was like $140,000. We turned that offer down too.
Oh, you guys are stupid.
There were a couple of stupid decisions right there. But it ended up working out in our favor because of where we were located on the lot, the plan for the new home. But anyway, we turned those down where we could have had extra cash at the end of the sale of the condo. If we would have took those and we would have ended up living on a different street than we lived on in Palmdale. We lived on Rolling Ridge. We would have lived on the other street, which would have been next to a couple of people that nobody really cared about. I can't even remember their names now.
Yeah, there were some weird people in that neighborhood.
There was. What was their names? I don't remember their names. The one girl, long brown hair, and her husband, and they had two kids. Jeannie and whatever. I don't remember his husband's name. Whatever. They were kind of off to left field there, but we would have been living next door to them.
But then we would have been across the street from the people who had guinea pigs.
Yeah,
those people were cool.
Anyway, but we would have never met Bobby and Celia and Laura and John and Al and Aaronette.
We had a lot of cool people.
Karen Dean, that street was a cool street. Rolling Ridge was a cool street. But anyway, let's go back to the condo. So we didn't do that, and as time progressed, it was taking a long time to get another offer on that condo, and the economy was starting to take a nosedive, and the developer out in Palmdale was pushing us to lower the price of that condo. So they offered us money to lower the price of the condo. So basically what they did is they lowered the price of the house. They didn't give us any cash. They just lowered the price of their cost of the house, and we lowered the price of the condo in the same deal. So with the condo, we eventually ended up getting an offer of $116, which is really what we paid for. By the end of the closing costs and everything else, we had no money. So the deal was with the mom and dad is that they didn't have any money, but they had a house that had value. So they took a credit line of credit off on their house and gave the money to me. So I was paying their line of credit back every month. So they gave me $20,000 off of a line of credit. So I was paying that bill every month. So the deal was, when I sell the condo, I pay them off. Well, we didn't make no money. At 145, we would be able to pay the 20 grand, have the 3% down for the new home, and be set. But we didn't do that offer. We ended up taking 115. I think it was 115. It might have been maybe a little bit more, but it ended up we couldn't pay mom and dad back. So what we did was, as I had a friend in AA, I was going to AA meetings at the time. I was clean and sober, we're doing a lot of AA meetings. I had a friend in there, which was a mortgage broker. And I went through him to get the loan. Instead of going through the developer, I went through him. Well, interest rates at that time were astronomical. My interest rate was 14% on that home in Palmdale. We did a loan to where we bought it down to 11% over a 3-year period. So it would be 11 and then 12, 13, and 14 over 3 years. And we did the loan through him. The idea was I had enough money for the down payment to get in the home, but I had no money to pay mom and dad back. So he says, well, what we'll do is we'll do a home improvement loan. As soon as you walk in the door, we do a home improvement loan, you pay your mom and dad back. So I said, all right, I got to pay him back. That's the deal. So we ended up, as soon as we closed escrow, which when we closed escrow on the house in Palmdale, I was $1,600 short for some reason. We were going to throw it out. We were screwed. We already there. The guy that bought our condo wanted a 14-day escrow. We already agreed to 14 days. So we ended up, we had to get out of that house. We moved in with mom and dad. And also, to throw another wrench into that, the loan company was not guaranteeing me the loan because Carrie's name was on another loan with some of the guys she lived with before me. And it was kind of a mess. At that time, the guy did a quick claim deal when they split up and took her name off the deed, but her name was still on the loan. I don't know how we got the condo with that. They didn't see it, or it didn't matter. We did show a quick claim deed when we bought the condo that she was off the house, but she was still on the loan. So it was showing up on that loan. So we were fighting with this other guy. She finally got a contact with that guy. I don't even remember if I talked to the guy or not, but we were trying to get him to show proof. He had to show proof to our loan company that he had been making that mortgage for several years. Well, he was in the middle of refinancing to pull her name off the mortgage. This is like years after they broke up. Years after. 5 or 6 years after they broke up. Something like that. So, anyway, it was a mess. But it all got done. The loan company got the proof they needed that they refinanced, took her name off the loan. It all closed there. So we kept going forward. And we ended up, when we closed escrow on the house in Palmdale, we were $1,600 short. I had no more money. I couldn't go to my mom and dad for them. I already owed them 20 grand. There's no way. I just told my friend Larry, I can't do it. It ain't going to happen. He took $1,600 out of his bank account, threw it into my bank account. And we went to the builder. The builder says, we'll take another $1,600. We'll give you $1,600 cash back to Larry. So it was just a circle. He gave him the $1,600 to close escrow. Once escrow closed, the builder dropped $1,600 back into Larry's account. So it was all even, squared, and done. So we got our house in Palmdale. We closed escrow. It was just a few days before Christmas of 1990, I think. Freezing cold. We had no Christmas tree, anything like that. We just moved in the house. We just got the keys. It was 3 degrees outside. I remember the day. We were 3 degrees outside. We went out and bought a Christmas tree. We didn't even look at anything. We just went to the first place. We got a tree. We put it in there. We took it home and put a Christmas tree up. We had to have a Christmas tree for the weekend or whatever it was. We moved into the house and, you know, Christmas time. We had nothing else. The only money we had like $60 left in the bank account. When all said and done, we had $60 in the checking account. Jeez. when we had that house. So we're in that house. It's 3 degrees outside in December, Christmas time. Me, Carrie, Shaley, we're in there. I think the next day I got to go back to work. I took a couple days off. I have to get back to work. The pipes froze up, so we had no water. Because it was so cold, the pipes were, we didn't know. The outside, the main valve was, the main area was, deal was exposed and it froze. But we worked through that. And as time went, the house, you know, we started saving money. We got back. We did do the FHA home improvement loan on the house. We did it for, I think, $25,000. We paid mom and dad back. We did do a couple upgrades to the house because we had to buy blinds and everything. You actually had to do something. Some guy come out and took pictures of everything you did to prove that you put money into the house. You couldn't just spend that money on anything.
Yeah.
Some guy from everything come around, they take pictures. He says, all you have to do is say, we upgraded the carpet and we did the blinds and whatever it was else we chose to do. We actually upgraded the carpet during the build of the house, but they don't know that. So upgraded carpet. They can tell by it was upgraded padding, and then we did blinds on all the windows of the house on that. But that was in like 1990. So we're out there in Palmdale, and we're driving to San Fernando Valley to work. I was working, I don't remember hours, I think I was working nights, driving down there with a gas-guzzling car back and forth. Carrie's driving into Woodland Hills every day. Hour and a half to work, you know, hour to hour and a half of work, depending on traffic.
Jeez.
And, you know, this is something we probably didn't put a lot of thought into that. We said, yeah, we can handle it. When you start looking at how much gas you're using, the time you're on the road, the 14 freeway became a disaster. Because any time it was rain and snow or two-lane highway, some wreck, you were there for hours. But hey, we tolerated it for a long time. But so anyway, the Palmdale home was a nice house, you know, wide open, lots of room. We had good neighbors, you know, Laura and John was across the street. They moved in, we were all there about the same time. Bobby and Celia moved in down the street. We're all moving in about the same time. We all had kids around the same ages. So John and Alan and Bobby and Celia had Valerie. So we're all close to the same age, same time, same kids. It was pretty nice. Karen moved in down there with Paul and Kaylin. Yeah, so it was pretty nice at that time. But as we moved on in Palmdale from 1990, you know, you always buy a home thinking, hey, we're going to go up in value and we'll have a little nest egg later in life. Well, the economy crashed back in the 90s. The real estate took a nosedive. Palmdale took a big hit. We paid $146,000 for the home. Within a year after we moved in it, they were selling for $100,000.
Jeez.
The builders were giving them away because they couldn't get rid of them. We were in a small little complex area. There wasn't thousands of homes being built. It was a few hundred. Maybe it was 100 homes.
Yeah, we were like right on the edge of civilization out there.
Yeah.
They still haven't built anything up
there. And a vacant lot of deer, there's nothing there. So, and it took months and months and months to get rid of the rest of the homes. They only had one street to do. When we moved in, it was only the other street behind us that they had to do. So it took a long time to get that done. But it came back, you know, they were giving the homes $99,000. You know, it was like, wow. But we had a lot of fun in that home. You know, we did a lot of stuff. Nathan was born out there. Well, he was born in the valley, but, you know, 1992, that's when you came along. We lived in that house for 10 years. We paid $146 for the house. We lived in the house for 10 years. We sold that house for $130-something. It cost me, I think, $3,500 to get out of that house when we decided to move to Arizona. It cost me like $3,500 to get out of that house. But that's where the market was, and that's what the real estate was. So, how much time we got?
I don't know. But before we go on to... We're at 20 minutes. Before we go on to Arizona or whatever, tell the story about the earthquake.
Oh, yeah, the earthquake. Actually, well, let's back up a little bit. I don't know if we had... did we talk about the fire last time? The 1970-71 earthquake and fire?
I don't remember.
I don't remember if we talked about that, but that was pretty scary. We'll just do a little touch base on the Simi Valley. When we moved out to Simi Valley, it was 1968. When Mom and Dad moved out there, it was 1968. Kids were all there. Mom had no driver's license. She didn't drive. We walked to the store. I think we did touch that. We walked to the store and walked back. We had a massive fire out there in Simi Valley. There was only one way in, unless you took the back roads out through Moore Park. But at that time, we didn't know really that much about that. We used to have to take the Santa Susana Pass was the way into Simi Valley and the way out until they built that 118 freeway over the hills. But Dad used to drive to work through the Santa Susana Pass.
And that's like right on the mountainside, right? It's like...
Yeah, it's right on the mountainside.
It's really curvy.
Yeah, it's real curvy. We used to drive that just for fun. You get stoned and you go out there and drive the Santa Susana Pass just for fun. And back in the day, they used to say Charles Manson was back up in there in the Spahn Ranch area, back up in the area back up there. Manson used to go hang out in the Santa Susana Pass. I'm not sure if that was Spahn Ranch or not, but he'd be out there. It's what they used to say. It'd be scary. He'd be out there getting stoned in the dark, and we start talking about Charles Manson, you know, and the Hatchet Man. You get yourself all spooked out. Anyway, back then there was a fire, and the fire surrounded all the mountains. So I think I did talk about it. We had to evacuate, and Mom had to drive. Yeah, I think I did mention that. I think the following year was the 1971 earthquake, or 70-71 Sylmar earthquake. Massive earthquake, knocked the freeways down back in 1970-71, somewhere around there. Hospital fell in Sylmar, massive confusion, and all that stuff back in the 70s. All right, now let's jump back to the 1990, in the house in Palmdale. We traveled back and forth. I worked in San Fernando Valley. Kerry worked in whatever it was. I can't remember now. Name of the town.
You just said it.
Woodland Hills.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Anyway, as we go back and forth, the traffic was really bad and everything like that. In 1994, there was the Northridge earthquake. I was at work. It happened around 5:30 in the morning, somewhere around there. We're running a press. And we're just all sitting right there. There's only about five or six of us there that night. It wasn't very busy. And you just start to feel the shake, massive shake. Lights go out. You hear all kinds of noises. Everything's crashing. We have the hanging fluorescent lights on chains and stuff. Those things start swinging and breaking. Mostly that's what you heard. But that was a 94 earthquake in Northridge. We went out after the earthquake. We're out in the back parking lot. We collect all the people at work. We're all there. Everybody's safe. Big warehouse full of newsprint. Nothing happened. Broke some water lines and flooded some of the press room areas, but nothing real major. Presses were slightly misaligned, picked up. Well, actually, they had one big press that actually picked up and moved on the pavement 2 inches. 2 inches further away from the wall and 2 inches north of where it was sitting before. The press actually set on a track. Instead of being bolted to the ground, the track was bolted to the ground. The press was mounted to the track. So the track was lifted off the ground, snapped all the supporting bolts, and moved. But other than that, that was really the only thing. And a couple, one of the buildings had a massive leak in one of the water lines, but there wasn't anything in there to get damaged. All the newsprint wasn't in there. So anyway, with that, we had several freeway problems. The 14-5 freeway up there, the 14 freeway fell apart again. Same area where it did in the 70s fell apart. It fell apart again. It dropped. The 118 freeway fell apart and dropped at Havenhurst or something like that, which was my route to go out to Mom's house. Because when it was all, I couldn't go home because the freeways were down, and we didn't know what the travel was like to get back out to Palmdale. And if I went to Palmdale, would I be able to get back to work? Well, I got a lot of work to do now because we've got to reline presses. We've got to get things rolling. We're going to lose time. We've got jobs to print. So I ended up shooting back to Grandma's house. But we had to take the side roads and everything like that because the freeway, I got on the freeway. The cops were there, told me to get off the freeway because the freeway collapsed. So we drove through the town, and I went through Northridge and was checking out some of the damage where all the apartments had crushed. This is only a couple hours afterwards, so really all the emergency vehicles, all the emergency things are still going on. I mean, if people were underneath those apartments, you know, there was no help going on because it is not too long after the earthquake. You know, you're still surveying the damage. You know, I drove by where the Balboa gas line was broken, just see flames shooting out of the ground. It was really kind of weird, but it's spooky as heck, man. Yeah. You have an earthquake like that. It's quiet after the earthquake. Everything's so quiet, you hear nothing. And it's just like calm and quiet, and it's like real spooky. Well, we ended up, I had to stay at Grandma's house for a few days, and it was nasty because the freeways were down. You had to take back roads, and all the people in Palmdale, you know, driving back into L.A. and San Fernando to go to work, this just compounded everything. It was hours of driving. And this went on for weeks and weeks and weeks until they got the freeway back up. And it was kind of scary because, you know, earthquake that big out there, you know, it's like, holy crap, what are you going to do now? And we're that far away from work and, you know, family and everything like that, and you have a massive earthquake. But after a while, everything was back together. They got the freeway up and it all worked out. And it was... wasn't as bad because, you know, they got everything back together. And we didn't have any more earthquakes. And we just, you know, that was in 94, and we really didn't have any more problems after that.
And, yeah.
Until we moved out of there, you know. But it was just crowded. So, but that was the story of the 94 earthquake. Scary, a lot of damage, but we survived. Been through several earthquakes in California. That's one of the reasons we got the hell out of there. We do live in Nevada. You don't have earthquakes that we can feel. You don't have tornadoes, hurricanes.
We don't have anything here.
You get monsoon rains. That's it. You really don't have anything that's going to, you know, scare the hell out of you. Unless there's a few bums on the street, which there is out here. You got a lot of homeless people. But anyway, that's another day. All right, so where are we at?
Let's see. We're at 27 minutes.
All right, we're gonna keep this to about 30 minutes, so we're going to close off. We're going to stay at the Palmdale house. 1994 earthquake, so we'll have to come back with the 1995 version, and we'll move forward from 1995 and on. Because I think there were some changes that happened in there, like, because we moved out of there in 2000. So eventually my hours did change and my job changed. And Carrie changed her job. So we'll have to remember all that.
All right.
So when we come back. Plus we can talk about the cabin. I don't know. Did I talk about the cabin last time?
No, I don't think you talked about the cabin at all.
Brought up the cabin. Because back in when we were living in Archwood Lane, my mom and dad bought a cabin in the southern Sequoia Mountains. So we need to talk about that. We'll bring that into the next one before we move on to Florida or move on to Arizona. So we'll talk about the cabin and the job changes and whatever else pops up. All right. On the next segment.
All right. Before we end this one, though, Why don't you talk about your favorite holiday?
Well, my favorite holiday.
Well, I know there were two big ones in California.
Well, my favorite holiday is actually, I do like the 4th of July. California, why we live in Palmdale, because you could have fireworks in Palmdale. You couldn't have fireworks in Simi Valley. You'd have fireworks in Palmdale. We used to have 4th of July parties. So every 4th of July, we'd invite, there for several years, I can't say every year, but for several years, we had people off the street. We had down the street, I didn't mention Ben and his wife, Betsy.
Were they the ones with the motorcycles?
Yeah, he was a motorcycle guy. He was a nice, big, old, burly motorcycle dude, but he was a nice guy. Real cool people. But we used to have, he'd come down, Bobby and Celia, Laura, Alan, Aaron, Ned, everybody from the street come over our house. We'd have food and drinks and fireworks. We'd watch the school light their fireworks off. Then we'd do our own fireworks show. We did that for several years, and it was a lot of fun. So if the 4th of July happened to fall on a day where everybody can get out there and do it, that's what we did. So that was one of my favorite holidays. Still is my favorite holiday. However, I work at the newspaper now, and I don't always get 4th of July off, unless I have to take it off, which I did this year. I took a whole week's vacation just to get the 4th of July off. Anyway, my other holiday, I don't know what my other favorite holiday is. What is it?
Christmas in California.
Oh, Christmas in California was always my favorite holiday. One of my favorite holidays. Because we can put a crap load of lights on the house. And the guy across the street, John, he used to set his house up for Halloween. He was into Halloween. And Christmas, he'd put lights on, and then I'd say, I'm going to put more lights on than John. So that's how we kind of started the battle of the Christmas lights for a few years. But I used to get out there, and I would get out there with Shaley, and when Nathan finally was old enough to do it, he'd get out there and help us out. Get all the lights out. We start testing lights on Thanksgiving Day weekend. We're pulling lights out of boxes and unraveling, checking all the lights, man, just hooking them up. We start counting the lights. And you got a notepad out there. And you come up with a design of something, and then you start hanging the lights. And every time you hang a light, you got to count that light. So we're out there, and we're counting, and I'm buying. So what I do is I go the day after Christmas and buy everything that was 50% off. But we had thousands upon thousands of lights. So I think my best was over 20,000 lights at one time. There was a lot of lights. Not like those people that put up hundreds of thousands of lights. But I had, I think, 20,000 lights. And that's every bush covered, every part of the house that I could reach covered. I was scared of heights, so I couldn't go to some points of the house. But I did everything. And I had lights everywhere. And my electric bill went up to $300 in December. The electric bill was $300 because I had the lights on all the time. But that would be the deal because it was just fun. You had the kids. You get out there on Thanksgiving weekend. It's a four-day weekend. For me at work, I always took 4 days, and I did my lights. And we set up all the lights and then Christmas trees and everything like that back in the day. Today, we don't do that. It's just not as fun. The kids aren't there, and I'm just not into it because I work all those days now.
Yeah.
Because of the newspaper, the business I'm in now, I got to work Christmas, I work New Year's, I work all the holidays. If it falls on my regular day of work, I got to work. So unless I take the whole week off or it comes on a day where I can take a day off and my cover's there, but that's another day, another story. But those are my two favorite holidays, really. Christmas, not so much anymore because it's just another day.
Yeah, we're all grown up and stuff. And it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. 4th of July, I still like to have fun because it's, hey, you get to light off fireworks.
Yeah, that's my favorite holiday. You trained me well.
Yeah. We're pyros here. Everybody likes fireworks.
I was out there lighting fireworks when I was like 4.
Yeah, there's some good video of Nathan out there. Not before even you might have been lighting them when you were at 4, but before 4, you were out there putting your face in the fire. And we got some pretty good video of a few of those days. It was a lot of fun. Palmdale was a lot of fun, I have to say. There was a lot of stuff there that happened that was fun. A lot of good people, a lot of good memories. And we'll go into some of those next time around. And we'll throw the cabin in there, and we'll take it from, we'll back up to 1989 with the cabin and go forward to where we stopped going to the cabin because we had to sell it, and we'll do some more of that stuff right there. But until then, that is it.
All right.
We're done.
Thanks. Thanks again, Dad.
All right.
All right. I gotta open it up. Okay, bye. Now leaving popularoutcast.com. It's like the Nerdist, guys. This is the end.